यमुना तीरावन चार कुंज विहारी गोपीजन पप्रच्छ रथमारूढः कार्तस्वरपरिच्छदम् मेघगम्भीरया वाचा समारोपितकार्मुकः पप्रच्छ रथमारूढः कार्तस्वरपरिच्छदम् मेघगम्भीरया वाचा समारोपितकार्मुकः पप्रच्छ रथमारूढः कार्तस्वरपरिच्छदम् मेघगम्भीरया वाचा समारोपितकार्मुकः अप्रच्छरतमारूढः मेघगम्भीरया वाचा पप्रच्छ इन्क्वायर्ड रथम चैरियट आरूढः सीटेड ऑन कार्तस्वर गोल्ड परिच्छदम एम्बॉस्ड विथ मेघ क्लाउड गांभीरया एक्सोनरेटिंग वाचा साउंड समारोपित वेल इक्विप्ड कार्मुकः एरोस एंड बाउ ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पस बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद के महाराज परीक्षित वेल इक्विप्ड विद एरोस एंड बाउ एंड सीटेड ऑन अ गोल्ड एम्बोस्ड चैरियट स्पोक टू हिम the Shudra with a deep voice sounding like thunder purport an administrative head or king like Maharaj Parikshit with full majestic authority well equipped with weapons to chastise miscreants can challenge the agents of the age of Kali. Then only it will be possible to counteract the degraded age. And in the absence of such strong executive heads, there is always disruption of tranquility. The elected show bottle executive head, as representative of a degraded public, cannot be equal with a strong king like Parikshit, Maharaj Parikshit. The dress or style of royal order does not count. It is one's actions which are counted. Om Ajnana Timirandasya. So we are reading from the chapter Punishment and Reward of Kali. So there was a discussion about the bull and the cow, and subsequently here we find Maharaj Parikshit about to take a severe action on Kali. Maharaj Parikshit, well equipped with arrows and bow and seated on a gold embossed chariot, spoke to him, the Shudra, with a deep voice sounding like thunder. Srila Prabhupada here is stressing on the importance of a qualified king who is well equipped with weapons to chastise the miscreants, to challenge the agents of Kali, the age of Kali. And he is saying here, the elected show bottle executive head as representative of a degraded public cannot be equal with a strong king like Parikshit. So the king elected in the Vedic times, they were elected by a board of brahmanas. They were supposed to be trained by them and guided by them, and then they will be able to lead the world. In fact, if such a king commits a mistake, he would be given a warning by the Brahmins. He would be corrected. And if the mistake was terrible, he was immediately dethroned. There was no question. Although the king had a power over all the public, praja, although he had the money power, he had the chaivalras power, he had the authority over the people, he was very well aware that he is posted by the board of brahmanas. And such a king would always be eager to be trained by them. Like you will find, you know, Bhishma Pitama, when he saw these tender children, Pandavas and Kauravas, one of his first concerns was, how can they be trained properly? That was his first concern. And one day when all the children were playing, they went out to play. Of course, children have their age to play, and then there is an age for training also. Because they cannot be playing throughout their life. There is a time to get trained. So one day when they were playing, they lost the ball which fell into a well, and a brahmana was passing by, which was Dronacharya. So the children were trying to take out the ball, they couldn't. And Dronacharya asked, what kind of kshatriyas are you? We don't know how to take out the ball. And then he took the darbha grass, and he would send the grass and it will go and hit the ball, and then one grass behind, and third one, and fourth one, and fifth one. In this way he made a network of grass. And then he pulled out the ball from the hole. So the children were greatly amazed. Then they went and reported to Bhishma. Bhishma knew who it was. And immediately he requested him to become their official teacher. And then they were trained in martial arts. So in this way the training of the Kshatriya children were given in twofold. One is in martial arts, and also Kshatriya children also would become Dvija. Dvija is not only a brahmana, Prabhupada explains, I found in one of his purports, Prabhupada says, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, all the three would wear the sacred thread. They would also become second born, twice initiated, twice born. So twice born means they have to have many qualifications. If you read the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, there the vivid description Prabhupada gives, who can be called as a twice born? A Brahmana who has a bookish knowledge of the Vedas is not called twice born. One who has memorized the Vedic text. That's why you find there is a difference between, you know, Purohita or Vipra or a Brahmana, a Pandita. These words are all used in the scriptures. And they all mean different things. A Purohita is one who just recites some, chants some mantras in a home. Purahita. He goes to benefit the home, make the home auspicious. Pandita is a learned person. Whereas, if you take a Vipra and a Pandita, Prabhupada says Pandita is a learned person, not a person who has just studied the Vedas theoretically. There's a difference between memorizing the Vedic text and being a learned person. Pandita Samadarshina. Pandita is a learned person with eyes to see who, you know, what is the difference between soul and body, and to see the, all the souls equally. They were learned. Similarly, Brahmana was one who was actually a second initiated person. He has to have qualities like sadachara. He has to be gentle, he has to be truthful, he has to be internally and externally clean. He has to, he also has to, like shamadhamma tapashaucham shantir arjavam. Especially the qualities of forgiveness and gentleness and cleanliness and truthfulness. These are the most vital qualities of a Brahmana. So the words there are used, four words are used. Sadachara. Sadachara means the one who has appropriate behavior, respect towards the elders, respect towards guru, and proper dealings with women. That is sadachara. Then shuta sampanna means one who is very thoroughly learned in the tenets of the scriptures. Shuta sampanna means one who has mastered the scriptures along with the proper understanding of application of the principles. Shuta sampanna. Dhritavrata, that is also used. Dhritavrata means one who has taken a determined vows, never to budge from them. Dhritavrata means with full determination. He takes, for example, one of the vows is vow of celibacy, vow to speak the truth. So, and also Prabhupada includes there rising early in the morning, rising early in the morning, chanting a fixed number of rounds. So Dhritavrata, he says. And then Sushilaha, Sushilao, Sadavo Yatraha. Sushilaha means gentle. Prabhupada says how Mrigari was not gentle before, and then he became gentle after taking shelter of Narada and chanting the mantra. So Sushila. So these qualifications are there for one who is a dvija. Sushila, Sadachara, Dhritavrata, Shtasampanna. Then, after seeing all these qualities, then Guru becomes pleased with the disciple. And then he gives him the sacred thread. Then he becomes a dvija or a twice born. And Prabhupada says in Vedic life, when one is wearing a sacred thread, that is like a badge, he says. It is like a badge, just like you wear some badge or some kind of thing to indicate your identity. The Vedic life, if you are twice born, then they would wear the sacred thread. That means this fellow is a pakka fellow, trained fellow. He can be confident, he's trained. So, this kind of scriptural training was also given to the Kshatriyas also. That is why you will find Kshatriya kings, many times they will speak from the principles of religion. Whenever any situation comes in their life, immediately they can apply their learning, earlier learning, and know how to apply the principles of the scriptures in their everyday life. Like you find Shivaji Maharaj in Maharashtra. You know, he had accepted a spiritual master, Ram Das. I heard that, you know, a beautiful Muslim woman was brought to him during one of the battles. And then somebody wanted to come and present her to him. And then Shivaji came to know she was married before. And he said, this is a mother. How can you come and present like a kanya, like a gift? So he scolded the person who did that. Because he was trained like that. When a Kshatriya king is trained properly in the principles, then he knows how he should live and how should he teach the praja also. How to live. He is such a wonderful example for the praja also. So, the kings were not only trained, first they were given the training. Sometimes even after given training, still one doesn't follow. One was given training and one knows what is right, but sometimes one doesn't follow what is right. Why? Because of the conditionings, because of one's habits, and because of one's old nature. Like Prabhupada gives the example, sometimes you take a dog and you bathe it and clean it with soap and everything. And you put a very nice frock and put him on a chair or a sofa. And he may be sitting there for some time, but as soon as somebody comes with the shoes on, the smell of the shoe comes, immediately he'll jump off from the sofa and he'll go and start licking the shoe. This is old tendency. So in the same manner, somebody may be elevated to the position of a king, but despite sometimes training, the old tendencies can come up. Then the guidance is needed by the Brahmanas. Brahmanas have to correct. So the king was open to such kind of guidance by the Brahmins. In fact, you will find Lord Ramachandra, or you find King Dasharath. Whenever they want to do something, they always consult Vasishtha. You find they consult Vishwamitra, they consult Vasishtha. Immediately anything has to be done, they always consult. Like, before posting Lord Ram as a king, Dasharatha is consulting Vasishtha, you will find there. He doesn't just post him as a king himself. He is taking the opinion of the praja, the ministers. He is taking the opinion of the brahmanas like Vasishtha and other sages. So, as it is explained here, the dress or style of royal order does not count, Prabhupada is saying. Simply wearing a very attractive attire, attractive dress, doesn't make a king a king. That is a small detail. Of course, it's not that the kings were, very simple and wearing dress like a beggar. No, the kings are allowed to wear royal dress. And of course, there are also, what do you call it, a king. If a king is passing by in the road, he will not be walking alone. Naturally, there will be, just like in the modern times, you find there are 20 cars ahead, 20 cars behind, when a politician is coming. Similarly, the king had his majestic procession. Like when he would come, there would be elephants and horses and brahmanas chanting the Vedic mantras. We hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even when Ramananda Rai, as a governor of Madras, when he was coming, there were brahmanas. Actually, he was coming to take a bath in Godavari. For the morning bath, there would be many singers who would come and sing. They'd be singing the glories of the king, and there'd be brahmanas chanting the Vedic mantras. There would be horses, there would be elephants. There'd be a big procession. Yeah, the kings were, because there was monarchy, and the king was respected as Naradev. He was respected as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like that. So, those things were there, which are as usual for any other king. But that alone doesn't make a king a king. That is why a king is not one who becomes king by popular votes of the public. Prabhupada condemns the democracy. Why? Here he says, the elected show bottle executive head as representative of a degraded public cannot be equal with a strong king like Maharaj Parikshit. See, there's a famous verse which says, Gunair uttamatam yati nochai asanasamshitaha prasada shikarastopi kakakyum garudayate. This is Chanakya's verse. He says, in a Garuda Stambha, which is there in front of every Vishnu temple, that is actually a landing pad for the Garuda. When Garuda comes, he will come and land there, just like we have a helipad. We have a landing pad for Garuda to come and sit there and take darshan of Lord Vishnu. But sometimes you find a crow may come and sit on that. Can the crow become a Garuda? Kaka kim Garuda, I think. How can such a crow become a Garuda? He says. That's a good question. So he says, Gunair Uttamatam Yati. You become great by qualities. Gunair Uttamatam Yati. Na Uchahi Asana Samshitaha. Not by occupying an elevated seat that one can be considered a great soul or a great personality or a great king. Not by wearing the type of royal dress, a king becomes a king. Nor by popular votes of the degraded public can one be called as a king. But one has to exhibit the qualities of a king. That is why the Parikshit Maharaj was born. The Brahmanas are glorifying all his qualities. What are the qualities that he will exhibit? When Prithu Maharaj becomes the king, again the professional reciters, they are glorifying the qualities and activities of Prithu. Why? These are very important. What are the personal qualities that he possesses and what are the activities that he will do for the welfare of the public? These are very important. Of course, there is a very little talk about the handsomeness of Prithu in a few verses. So the royal possessions of the king or the treasury of the king or the attire of the king, these are all given secondary importance in comparison to the qualities of the king and activities of the king. They are more important. So just as sometimes the crow sits in that elevated asana and in the Garuda Stambha and pretends like a Garuda. In the same manner, sometimes Prabhupada says about Nixon. When Nixon was the president of US, he suddenly got into committing some blunder, scandal. So they wanted to dethrone him, but he was not ready to leave his post. Prabhupada, he was holding on to that. Just see how degraded he is. The public want to throw him, still he doesn't want to leave. He was telling he is attached. On the other hand, Prabhupada says, look at Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra was most loved by all public. They were constantly singing Sia Ram, Jai Sita Ram, Jai Sita Ram. They were always singing. Public was so happy with him. But one fellow, one dobi, found a small fault in Lord Ram. And in order to, appease that fool, Lord Rama was ready to banish his eternal consort, Mother Sita, to the forest. Just see the standard of Lord Ram. What kind of king was he? Compare these two qualities of Nixon and Ramachandra. You can see the difference. You can see. Prabhupada says, this is actually the quality of a king. But unfortunately, sometimes one becomes a king by the popular vote of the degraded public. Just like you have heard the story of once a fox, he fell into a blue vat. And then his whole body became bluish. Then he ran to the forest. Only he was thinking, oh, I am looking very strange. What will happen to my people in my community? They will probably not accept me. Then an idea came in his mind. He thought that maybe I can tell them that I have come from another planet. So he went to the forest and he sat on an elevated stone. And then he called for all the animals and everyone came, including the lion and tiger and elephants, all of them. And he told them that I have been sent by the superior angels to become the king of the forest, all of you. So you all have to obey me. And you can look at me, I look different from you. And all the animals, even lion became afraid. Lion was ready to offer his crown to this fox, which was looking quite different. But some foxes were a little suspicious. So one day on a full moon day, some of the foxes went behind the bushes and started howling loudly. So this blue fox, he also started, reviving his old qualities. And he also started looking at the moon with an open mouth and loudly howling. Then all the animals, they realized this fellow is a cheat. They pounced on him and tore him to pieces. So in this way, we can find there are many people in the age of Kali Yuga, for example, the modern day politicians, What is the qualification to become a politician? If you ask, you don't need any education at all. You don't need education, you don't need character. Most often they have been in the jail and they have already done so many scandals. And they are elevated to the post of a big politician. Most of the people who get elected are like that. So that's why elected show bottle executive head as representative of a degraded public, he says. The public is degraded and they also elect someone who is also degraded, like them, because they want him to do activities which they like to do. This is the greatest plight. So someday he will show his degraded nature and he will be again dethroned from such a position. And this kind of cheating is going on. Sometimes people, even after they commit some big blunder by being in a top position, by money power, they continue to retain their position. Or by political power, or by hoodlum power. With all this, they are trying to hold on to the post and try to continue their atrocious activities in the age of Kali Yuga. So that's why Prabhupada used to condemn this democracy. Actually, the Brahmanas electing a king also is in one sense democracy, but it is enlightened democracy, not like the democracy of the modern times. The democracy which involves the people electing a king is Shudra democracy, because that Prabhupada called is demon crazy. It's foolishness. Because the degraded people will surely elect a degraded man as a leader. The government of the Shudras, by the Shudras, for the Shudras, Prabhupada used to say that. And this was a very famous statement which is often quoted by many politicians. Our government is for the people. It is by the people, of the people. So Prabhupada quotes it in one place and says, where is it said in the Shastra that government is for the people, by the people, of the people? Where is it said? Prabhupada says, government is for the Lord, by the Lord, of the Lord. Yeah, that's what the Shastras say. Some sit there. Does it say some sit there samaj toshanam, some sit there kutumba toshanam, some sit there nija toshanam, swatoshanam? It doesn't say that. Some sit there hari toshanam, which means government should be for the Lord. Government should be of the Lord. Government should be by the Lord or His representative. So this so-called philosophy of government by the people, for the people, of the people, is coined by fools like this who want to exploit the public. It's a bogus philosophy. Actually, sometimes such philosophies actually are floated by the people and people keep talking about it and it becomes a new theory. Just like people say, Manava Seva hi Madhava Seva. Where is it said in the Shastra that you do Manava Seva and it becomes Madhava Seva? Where is it said? Is there anywhere, any quote in the scriptures like that? It is true that when you serve the devotees of the Lord, and that is tantamount to serving the Lord Himself. That is true. But the Shastras nowhere say that you simply serve the public. You serve the poor people, you serve the sickly people, you give some mundane education to the children, and then that becomes service to God. Nowhere scriptures say that at all. It's a concoction. Just like Rajaram Mohan Rai, in India, he was against idol worship. He started a new movement himself, and like Arya Samaj. It is nowhere said in the scriptures that one should not worship the deities. So he concocted a new movement, and then we have the iconoclasts who are against the worship of the deity. So in the same manner in India, you will find, not only in India, in all places in the world, people come up with concocted theories on their own. Like one famous Swami from India concocted a new theory, Yatomat Tatopat. Any path you follow, you will go to, you will attend the same destination. So this became a very famous theory. And now all the public keeps, ruminating the same bogus philosophies like this. Yatomat Tatopat. In the same manner, Manav Seva, Madhav Seva, all these are wrong misconceptions floated by so-called wise people. Just because they have the popular votes of the public, that doesn't make them wise. Just because one big fool has got million fools following him, he doesn't become a great soul. He doesn't become a wise person. And there are many fools, because we are living in this world of, it's called as a fool's paradise. It's a fool's paradise. In fool's paradise, many, like for example, so many cinema actors and actresses who, in order to attract the cheap, in order to gain cheap popularity from the public, they act in movies and they speak degraded things, they do degraded things, and they become very popular. And when they come out in the public, so many people come to see them. Thousands of them come to see them, lakhs of them come to see them. That doesn't make them wise people or great souls. So, wise, how do you know someone is wise? You have to check how much a person is living in accordance with the Shastra Vidhi, scriptural principles. That should be seen. If a person is following the Shastra Vidhi, even if he is alone, and there is no follower for him, still he is a great soul. Ekas chandra tamohanti nachatara sahasrasha. He says, one moon is by far superior to millions of stars. In the age of Kali Yuga, there are millions of stars twinkling in the sky, star-like philosophies. And they are claiming that they can give light to the dark people of Kali Yuga. They can't give any light, only the moon can give light. Occasionally when the moon gets hidden in the clouds, the stars say that we will give light. They can't give any light. Similarly, this kind of bogus show bottle executive heads, they can be in the position of a king, or they can be in the position of saints also. Like how Indra, he became a Kapalika sannyasi, carrying a Kapalik danda in his hand. Similarly, there are so many kinds of swamis and saints propagating bogus philosophies, and they look like, you know, smart leaders and capable of leading the masses, but they are leading the masses into the ditch. Andayatanda rupaniyamana stepisha tantriyam urdam nibadda. All masses are led to the ditch by them. So, that is why, as Maharaj Parikshit here, we find he is about to take a severe action on Kali Raj. So, Kali is symptomized by the activities like meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, and all these activities. And anyone who wants to oppose Kali should vehemently preach against these four things. One should never hesitate. Like once in a college program, I was giving a program on stress management or something. So, you know, I was presenting this slideshow on, you know, no meat eating, no gambling. And one devotee, after I came back, was telling that, you know, Prabhuji, I think, you know, we should not be too strong. We should not present these things, you know, to people, you know, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, you know. You know, if you tell these things, you know, then they won't come afterwards. So, I was telling, why do you want to join the side of Kali? You want to propagate Kali, or you want to destroy Kali? See, certain things, it is true that we have to be sensitive in our preaching, that we should not give everything, you know, in one shot, people cannot digest and all that. But there are certain things a devotee should be uncompromising and honest. If you are not honest, then you will never make pure devotees. You will yourself not become a pure devotee, and you can never make pure devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was thoroughly honest. Prabhupada was thoroughly honest. And Prabhupada says in India, probably I am the only one, Prabhupada says about himself, who openly preaches about the faultiness of worshipping demigods. And probably I am the only one who openly tells people that, you know, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and, you know, based on the Bhagavad Gita. It's not my own philosophy, Prabhupada says. It's based on Bhagavad Gita. You read Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 9th chapter. And I'm openly preaching it. And many others, they are afraid to tell the truth. They are compromising on the truth, waffling. It's called as waffling in English, diluting the truth. So Prabhupada says, why should I dilute the truth? Whatever Krishna is saying, if you don't surrender to Krishna, you are a mudha. Prabhupada says, namam duskritram, mudha. And he explains, you see. I am not calling you mudha, Krishna is calling you, Prabhupada says. So, when we are preaching, certain truths we should never compromise. Wherever I go, in my very first lecture, I tell about these four principles. You will see my slideshows. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. If you give up these four things, you know, half of your problems are gone. You can be happy. One can become a Brahmana. And then you study the scriptures. Then it will enter your ears, enter your head, enter your heart. Then you can progress ahead. My experience is, after I give an open lecture like this, the feedback comes. Many boys write, "Sir, today onwards I have decided to give up meat eating. Today onwards I have decided." Like one boy wrote, "Sir, till now I have been having some wrong connections with women. Now after hearing this lecture, I feel I should give it up. I'm going to give up." Surely, people, it affects the people positively also. And people, they do improve. Because many people don't know what should be avoided. We should tell them, this is Kali. Kali is my, you know, even all of us, if Prabhupada did not tell us so categorically, we might not have known that these things are wrong. Somebody may be doing all these things and may be thinking that I am all right. I am also a pious person. There are many people piously eating eggs. They come from Brahmana families, they are eating omelette and they are very, very proud that I am also a Brahmana. We also have Bhagavad Gita at home. So, we have to openly preach to people, this is Kali. Kali is percolating in the society in this way. So just as Prabhupada is talking about the king, there is no king in Kali Yuga, no proper king. The politicians are all cheats. So in the absence of, in the presence of such cheats and in the absence of a capable king like Parikshit Maharaj, then who has to take the charge of all the suffering souls in this world? So that is in the hands of the devotees. Devotees are the only life saviors in the age of Kali Yuga. And they are in minority in the vastness of this world. There is a population of 6 billion on the surface of the globe, of which probably about 1 million is devotees. It's a small fraction. 1 million out of 6 billion. It's a small number, small fraction. But if devotees are very strongly propagating, like Prabhupada is saying here, devotees should do all possible things to, like here he says, well equipped with weapons to chastise miscreants and can challenge the agents of the age of Kali. So what are the weapons that the devotees can use? Like it is said, Sango Pangastra Parshadam. What is the weapon? One of the greatest weapons is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna in the age of Kali Yuga. Because somehow or other, if you can convince a person to regularly chant the holy names, you will see that the person's life transforms. It's only a matter of time. And if Prabhupada could transform some of the most downtrodden Western people who were degraded in all kinds of activities, in India it is even more easy. Because people are already pious, they are into practicing some kind of religion. And they don't know, many are even chanting mantras also. Many of them are chanting some mantras. They don't know. In fact, right now the situation in India is very conducive for propagating Krishna consciousness. Why? People have begun to understand the frailties and the weaknesses and shortcomings of Western way of living. They are seeing that the Western way of living is causing divorces, it's causing suicides, it is causing dryness of heart. And people are understanding that the Indian culture has some sweetness associated with it because of the Vedic culture. And people want temples, people want puja, people want kirtans, people want some kind of connection with culture. So people are again reviving and trying to come back to Bharatanatyam and Carnatic music and evening program. You can see that Pune, in a city like Pune for example, so many years have passed and we are next door neighbor to Bombay. Still you will find the cultural activities in Pune have not stopped. Pune is a seat of Sanskrit learning even today. Pune is a seat of cultural activities like singing, like dancing. There are so many. Recently, you know, they had put this Janta Raja, this Shivaji's huge. How many people attend? 30,000 people? 30,000 people, can you imagine, attending this big cultural event. And what are they presenting? They are presenting how Shivaji Maharaj got the cultural sanskaras, spiritual and cultural sanskaras from his mother, and how he became a very powerful Kshatriya king, who was a man of principles. And in what age are they showing? This is Kali Yuga going on, and 2008, in this age. Still 30,000 people are coming. What does this show? See, by the eagerness and interest of the people, we can know that the Indian public is still not dead. Prabhupada once said, India is like a dead elephant, Prabhupada said. There is a proverb we used to say, Yana irundalam ayiran pon, irundalam ayiran pon. Which means, if an elephant is alive, it is 1,000 gold coin worth. If it is dead, it is 1,000 gold coin worth, it is said. Because if elephant is alive, it can lift, you know, trunk and heavy logs of wood and do a good work for you. But if an elephant dies, then you can take the tusks of the elephant and ivory, you can sell it and you will make the same money, big money you can make. So Prabhupada said, India is like a dead elephant. Why? Although in one sense our culture is dead, still the remnants of culture is prevalent everywhere. And we can use that to revive it. If we miss out now for the next one decade, then we can never catch up. Then Kali will take over after that. It will be very difficult for us to revive it. This is a very good time when people are now deciding their choices. East or West, they are turning both sides. They don't know. Both are attractive to them, equally attractive. You know, they don't know which direction to go. They want the luxuries and comforts of the West, and they already have got pampered because software companies are sending them to the West. And there they go, oh, fine roads, you know, AC rooms, staying in star hotels, big money, filling up the pockets, oh, we are very happy. That also they like very much. And then they look there and, oh, divorce, my God, suicide, this is too much. When they see criminalism, oh, although I am getting luxuries and comfort, still they are not very happy with that side of the West. Then they look at India, oh, unclean roads, you know, poverty, isn't it? And you know, people living in simple houses. Their mothers and fathers have lived in simple homes, not like the posh modern homes. So they see, they go back to their towns and villages and they see, oh, mother and father are still living in the same type of homes. You know, when they see that. And their life is not very sophisticated. But although life is not sophisticated, their heart is full of love. You know, there is they would never divorce. They would die but not do divorce. And their hearts are so much full of love and they are full of culture. You know, that really touches their heart. So they are pulled from both sides. They see the temples, they see the festivals, they see the culture. So now average Indian mind is torn between the two. They want the best of India and best of West also. They are trying to combine both. So this is a very good threshold period, which is a very good time if properly people are properly taught the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness can explode in a very big way in India. Just that, as one time, 1965, it exploded. When Prabhupada went, it was Krishna's arrangement that he went at a certain period of time when the American youths were turning into hippies and they were very dissatisfied and bored with life because their life was stereotyped and hackneyed, hedonistic life. They wanted to have a change. They were looking for an alternative. Some of them were visiting India to look for Eastern meditative practices and all that. So when Prabhupada went, it was like, you know, strike the rod when it is hot. Make hay while the sun shines. It was like that. Exact time Prabhupada went. It's all Krishna's arrangement. Here is a pure devotee and Krishna brought him. And he brought both together and Hare Krishna explosion took place there. Similarly, Hare Krishna explosion can take place in India also now. This is a very good time. So the politicians and such people who are leading the executive heads of the state, they also can be educated, they can be transformed, or they can be dethroned and we can post somebody who will do a good job. But that is not very easy for us. What is more easy for us is to reach out to those people, especially the educated people. For example, there are so many powerful people out there, if you go, like people who are influential in society. The two people are very influential. People who have the brain, people who have their pockets full. Two people. people who are intelligent class and people who are moneyed class, these two people. So if you preach to these two classes of people, very nice. These are the people who are ruling the country now, if you see. Like for example, President of India or Prime Minister of India, he takes advice even from our Pune, what is his name, the scientist in Pune, one who brought the Param computers, Vijay Bhatkar. Vijay Bhatkar gives advice to the PM of India, President of India, and he comes to ISKCON also. So this is intelligent class. So we should preach to this intelligent class of people, because the intelligent class of people are giving advice to top politicians, exactly like Chanakya is giving advice to Chandragupta. So by giving Krishna conscious understanding to the intelligent class, tomorrow they may be able to give good advice for running the country. At the same time, the business class people, economic lords, they are the ones ruling the whole country today. If you see, the direction which any country will take will depend on what the moneyed people speak. Whatever the moneyed people are saying nowadays, commercial, anybody who has the biggest money, all the countries salute them and obey them. Because everyone is after money. Big moneyed people are only able to control the country. So these two classes of people should be approached and they should be brought to Krishna consciousness. And like recently, I have been going to, every week I go to meet some 2-3 big shots in Pune, at least 2 or 3. So my last 3 visits, I went to 3 big Marwadi homes, and all of them have a beautiful big altar in their house with Radha Krishna deities inside, big deities of Radha Krishna, and a big deity of Laddu Gopal. I have only seen small Laddu Gopal. Recently I went to one house, they have this much size Laddu Gopal, you know, very big brass deity of Laddu Gopal. You know, Krishna carrying a big laddu in the hand. So, and the puja room is made of marble and littered up with light and so beautifully decorated. Such a huge place. So I found, when I was talking to a group of some 10-12 people living in that house, I saw the elderly lady. She is about 70-75. She has so much of devotion for Krishna. Natural devotion. Because of many, many years of sincere worship and everything. But then I found her sons, wives, and they are little interested. But in the grandchildren, they are playing cricket. And then you find gradually the generation, there's a generation gap between the previous generation and this generation. So I asked, who is dressing the deity regularly? Who is worshipping? And most of it is done by her level. She is doing, and the old lady, she is beyond 70, she is doing that. She is like the biggest mother of the house. But otherwise the men, they are all into business, they are all into, you know, money making, and there is no chanting of the holy name. I asked, what? Then I told, why don't you chant the Hare Krishna? She said, this mantra is too big. Can you give some small one word mantra which I can chant while breathing only? She was asking. I said, no, this is Kali Yuga Taraka mantra. You should chant. Then she started chanting Hare Krishna. We did some kirtan and everything. So I am finding that many people have deities of Radha Krishna at their homes. Like one rich man, he was telling me when I went to his house, he said, my son's daughters, they want to watch TV all the time. Although I have Radha Krishna here, there is no one to worship. I don't know next to me who will worship. So he asked, do you want this deity for your temple? Can you take it? I told, no, keep it at your house. Let us try to make your children devotees. Let them worship the deities. You see, this is happening in India nowadays. The previous generation was worshipping very wonderfully. Now the next generation is getting attracted by, fascinated by the Western culture. And if you don't interfere into these homes, if you don't create a breakthrough in their lives by transforming them and again reviving the culture, in Pune especially, we have been preaching to youth since 96. And we have brought youths who are not just ordinary people, we have brought people from IITs and NITs and engineering class of people. It is certainly a great miracle. But this miracle should not stop only with college students. We have to go to the homes of the rich class people. And those people's children should be saved. Like one father and mother have challenged me. They said, if we can make our son into a vegetarian, they said, we will give a big sum to the temple. Because they are worshipping Krishna in their home regularly. But the son has become a non-vegetarian. Only thing, somebody should go and give him time, you know, cultivate him, you know, nurture him. So there is a great challenge in front of us. We cannot just be taking prasadam and sleeping here peacefully. Huh? We have to go and reach to the, if we don't reach to the people's homes in time and give them Krishna consciousness, we may chant, dance and we may go back to Godhead, but many will be stuck behind. Huh? And Kaliraj will gradually spread his influence. This Kaliraj's strategies and techniques are powerful. Huh? If you see, I heard that the call centers are now going to the villages also. Why? In cities they are giving 12,000, in villages even if you give 5,000 people will work. Huh? Because you know they can do the same job what they do here from villages also. They are going. You can see this is really Kaliraj doing tandav. Huh? Big way. Huh? This is spreading very fast. Huh? Televisions have gone into the smallest of the villages. Televisions have gone. So we need a class of, you know, we need a group of people who will take over, who will be prominently present in the TV. Although there is a presence of many saints in the TV in the morning, we have to have a presence of pure Bhagavad philosophy which is given in the television in the morning. Although it is coming in a small minuscule, it has, the representation has to be very powerful. There are so many serials and dramas which are now talking about one man, you know, while having one wife looking at another woman. Or one woman having one husband and she is looking at another man. This kind of dramas are being shown in TV nowadays. Why? Because the culture is going in the direction. So naturally the dramas and pictures also reflect the society. The society reflects movies, movies reflect society. They both keep reflecting each other. So if you don't have a powerful representation, this radio mirchi, all kinds of useless stuff. So Hare Krishna philosophy should go into radio, Hare Krishna philosophy should go into the TV, we should go into the houses of rich people. So the responsibility lies in the hands of devotees. If devotees, Prabhuji's, Mataji's, youths, girls, children, if they don't become alert, if they don't make themselves alive and propagate Krishna consciousness, then Kali will completely take over. Here you can see Parikshit Maharaj, how he is coming forward to punish Kaliraj. Kaliraj is trembling, although he was dressed like a king. Now he is ready to cast off his dress and fall at the feet of King Parikshit. Similarly, it is not impossible. The power of the Hare Krishna mantra has been proved even in the West by Srila Prabhupada. So the same potential of the Mahamantra is there very much. All that is needed is the right use of the free will of the living entities, especially of the devotees. If you use our free will to propagate by taking the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas, certainly the Kali's activities can be subdued and Krishna consciousness can be expanded. Hare Krishna. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.